Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. Jesus is speaking, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive.' So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last of the first.' And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have been borne the burden and the heat of the day.' But he, the landowner, answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Do you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good?' So the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few chosen." So far, our sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who is our exceeding great reward, dear fellow redeemed. How can a person stand righteous before a just and angry God? How can a burdened conscience be stilled and be at peace? Well, those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior would answer that question, those questions by saying, by working harder to be good. Or by trying really, really hard to do good. But that way of thinking of earning and of deserving leads only to eternally disastrous results. An example of such disastrous results is in the verses just prior to our sermon text this morning. Our text comes from chapter 20. In chapter 19, we're told about the rich young ruler. He came to the Lord and thought that he had kept the law. And probably outwardly, he was keeping the law. But he felt that he had deserved everlasting life. He had earned his way to heaven. So Jesus clearly showed him that perfection is not just outward motions, but it's the selfless, perfect, loving, and serving of God and our neighbors with everything we think, with everything we say, and with all that we do. And the man clearly showed that he couldn't do that because he couldn't give up his goods, give away his riches, and give it to the poor. Well, this encounter so impressed the disciples that they asked Jesus, "Who then can be saved? If this guy who is really, really good can't be saved, who can be saved?" And Jesus answered by saying, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Our entire salvation has been made possible for us by God. For God the Father planned our salvation and then sent his Son to fulfill it. God the Son, Jesus, came to fulfill our salvation by living that perfectly obedient life of thought, word, and deed. And then by going to the cross and sacrificing himself. And then by rising victoriously from the grave. And then God the Holy Spirit has taken that message of salvation in the gospel and brought it to us and created faith in our hearts to believe that message and to have that message centered in our whole life. What's impossible for man is entirely possible for God. Even saving the sinful, spiritually dead human being. But Peter is still thinking about what Jesus said about forsaking everything. And he's thinking to himself, well, I did that. My friend disciples have done that. And so he asked the Lord, see, Lord, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? In other words, Peter's saying, what's in it for us? What are we going to get because we've left our family and our jobs and are following you? Well, Peter was desirous for those heavenly treasures. The problem is that Peter now is letting his sinful flesh take over and think that somehow by doing something for the Lord now owes him to do something for him. Before we shake our heads and say, oh, that Peter again, to think about ourselves. And how often we don't have those same kind of sinful thoughts by saying, Lord, I've been doing this now for you. I come to church, and I do my offerings, and I help at work days and so forth. And so what am I going to get in return? Lord, I've done this for you. What are you going to do for me? How did Jesus reply to Peter's words? He said, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Notice those people who forsake those things for Jesus will inherit eternal life. An inheritance is a gift that is given alone by God's grace, his undeserved love. Oh, it's earned, not by us, but by Jesus. It was then given to us as a free gift, a gift of God's grace in Christ Jesus, which we make ours when the Holy Spirit creates faith in our hearts. So why was Peter working in God's kingdom? Why are you working in God's kingdom? You know, the answer to that question will reveal to you whether you will receive the inheritance of everlasting life or whether you will earn eternal death in hell. Our theme this morning is a question that needs to be asked of every one of us, and every one of us must personally, individually answer that question. Why am I working in God's kingdom? Jesus' parable was a familiar scene to the people of Jerusalem and Israel. There are many, many vineyards throughout Israel. Many people worked in those vineyards. And so Jesus says in verses 1 and 2, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Remember, a parable is an earthly story with a spiritual heavenly meaning. The vineyard here is a picture of the church. Not the Holy Christian Church, but the outward church. God's, or the owner of the vineyard is God. His hiring the vineyard workers is meaning his calling people to be his church members. And so now they're going to work in the church. They're going to work in his vineyard. And he tells them, he'll give them a denarius, which is a day's wage. But as the day goes on, the landowner needs more workers. So he goes out into the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, even the 11th hour of the day, and hires more workers. And to those, he says, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you'll receive. No contract, no set wages. So now the long, hot 12-hour day is done. And they're all going to receive the wages at the end of this long day. And the ones who worked 1 hour received a denarius, a whole day's wage. As also did the ones who worked 3 and 6 and 9 hours. And then the ones who had worked 12 hours came, and they also received a denarius, a day's wage. So, put yourself in the place of the one who worked 1 hour. Wow! Now put yourself in the place of the one who worked 12 hours. Not so wow. In fact, we're told that they began to complain and grumble. They said, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day." And to their complaint, again the owner said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to the last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen." Remember our first reading this morning from Isaiah, Isaiah 55? We read these words, God speaking, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's dealing with mankind concerning his salvation is not the way we think it should be. It's beyond our thinking, beyond even our imagining. Who in the world would pay those who worked 1 hour the same, a whole day's wage, as those who worked 11 hours? The meaning is very clear in our parable this morning. God's ways are all based on grace, not merit. God's ways are all based on undeserved love, not earning or working for them. That's something that's impossible for natural man to comprehend. Natural man says, "I do this for you, and you pay me this much." That's man's way. What does God do? With God, what a believer deserves is not what he gets, thankfully. God's generous heart determines what the believer will receive. For all those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, whose heart is not in sync with God and understanding God's ways, look upon this scene, this scenario, as being completely foolish. This is nonsense. Utterly nonsense. But thank God it's the only way that God deals with those of us who work in his kingdom. If God dealt with us as people deal with us, as we deal with others, then we would have earned and got what we deserve, which is eternal death in hell. For God's justice is clear. The soul that sins shall die. The wages of sin is death, no matter how much or how hard you work in his kingdom. The best of people, in God's eyes, are still the worst. Because the best are still filled with sin. No matter how hard you work in this church and in God's kingdom, you don't deserve anything but death. No matter how hard I work in this church, in this kingdom, I don't deserve anything but death. Because our sin condemns us. Our sinful heart damns us according to God's justice. No matter how hard we work for God, we earn nothing but death and condemnation. That's what we deserve from God. So what's the point of this whole parable? Is it to make us feel miserable? Really sad? Burdened? Go home really, 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 really mad? Or if you feel have some really bad self-esteem? Well, we asked it earlier. Why do you work in God's kingdom? Your being here as members of this congregation, or visitors who may be belong to other congregations, shows that you're part of God's kingdom. You're in his outward church, and you're serving him. So why are you working for God? Is it to receive what you deserve? That's what those first workers thought. Those who contracted for a denarius a day and were working for a day's wage. These workers are the outward workers of the church. But either they never knew about God's grace or had forgotten or rejected God's grace and now felt that they were deserving of God's love. At the end of the day, thought they should get more than others. I do work for you, God. You pay me in return. In other words, God owes me for my work. And unfortunately, there are some like that within the church, within congregations, who work really, really hard in the church. Work really, really hard for the Lord. But for all the wrong reasons. They work to earn His love. They work to earn their reward. They work to receive what they feel they deserve. These kind of workers are usually found out in the congregation when the congregation reaches out to someone who has fallen into a public sin and then is confronted with a sin and then confesses a sin. And the congregation welcomes them back in open arms and forgives them. And they say, they don't deserve to be forgiven. How could the congregation do that? Or they're the ones that say, it's not the gospel that motivates. Everyone is supposed to do or to give their fair share. So let's do that. Everybody, fair share here. The Lord, and when they have worked the Lord for the Lord, they expect something in return. What does the Lord say to those kind of people? You've got your reward. Leave my garden. In fact, the landowner said, take what is yours and go your way. Leave my vineyard. You've received your reward. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6? He said about people who make public spectacle of their work and their prayers and their giving. They want glory from men. They have their reward. They want to be seen by men. They have their reward. They may get the praise and glory from others. Oh, he worked so hard. She worked so hard. But they've lost the gift, the free gift, the grace of everlasting life and salvation. The other laborers in the vineyard, they were working out of love for the Lord, out of joy for the Lord, thankfulness for all the Lord had done for them, thankfulness that He had hired them and called them to be part of His vineyard. The point is, the wages that were paid were not based upon on the amount of work that was being done, but on the owner's generosity, His grace. So we ask it a third time. Why do you work in the Lord's kingdom, in His vineyard? We pray that it is because you have received God's grace. Out of undeserved love, God chose to send His dear Son to come into this world and become one of us. God commanded that that Son be born as a human being and have the law placed upon His heart. So He had to keep the commandments, just like we're commanded to do. And when His Son perfectly loved His Father and every single other person in this world, with every thought, with every word, with every deed that He did, God the Father took His Son and damned Him for us. Put Him on the cross and placed all your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world and crushed His soul by condemning Him to pay for our guilt and our punishment. And God declared to us, not guilty. You're set free. That's grace beyond our imagining. Grace beyond our comprehension. Then the same God sent the Holy Spirit to take that message, the gospel, and contact us in the highways and byways somewhere in our lives, either infant baptism or later on in our life, and convict us with the law and convert us with the gospel to believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation and grab hold of that grace and called into his vineyard to work for him. This is most important to understand. God saved us through Jesus Christ. God called us by the Holy Spirit, working through his word. We're his children alone by grace. And we love him because he first loved us. We work in his kingdom because we've already received his amazing grace. We do not work to earn what we deserve, but we work to show our Savior our love, our thanks, our appreciation for all that he has done for us. Those who have not learned that, those who are working to earn God's love, will be last, meaning they'll lose everything. We can take this whole parable and really summarize it into two statements. Listen carefully. First statement is this. Those with the spirit of work righteousness, who feel that their work for God earns something from God for themselves, will lose the grace that they've rejected. In the end, they'll be disowned by God as not being a worker in his kingdom and end up in everlasting damnation. While those who've learned from the Spirit what grace is, God's undeserved love in Christ, will continue to work in response to that grace and find true joy and happiness in serving their loving Savior and will receive the results of that grace and all that Jesus Christ has earned for them, the inheritance, the gift of everlasting life. The Apostle Paul also is very clear on that very same truth when he wrote in Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But then he continued, "But there are works involved." He said, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Our working for Jesus comes from Christ's love to us and our response of thankfulness to him. We close this morning's sermon with the words of hymn 379 as our closing prayer. "I do not come because my soul is free from sin and pure and whole and worthy of thy grace. I do not speak to thee because I've ever justly kept thy laws and dare to meet thy face. I know that though in doing good I spend my life, I never could atone for all I've done. But though my sins are black as night, I dare to come before thy sight because I trust thy Son. In him alone my trust I place. Come boldly to thy throne of grace and there commune with thee. Salvation sure, O Lord, is mine, and all unworthy, I am thine, for Jesus died for me." Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our gracious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.